Blog Talk Radio.
Sports. It's what inspires all school children to believe that they are the best in the world.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to
get. Through all the ups and all the downs.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
And now, what you've all been waiting for all week, it's Saturday Night Sports with me, your host, the captain, along with Brother X, Seth, and the one and only Coach Viper.
Holy shit, it's Viper.
Now sit back and enjoy the one thing that really matters to Americans, and that is sports.
Captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where now on Saturdays, we forget about all of the evil in the world. And there's been a lot of it. And there's going to be more of it. You got two human beings on planet Earth. One of them's going to be evil to the other. It's just how we are. I didn't invent the human being. I just know how they work. But on Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we do not talk about that. We talk about things that really matter to not only Americans, but all human beings, all of life. And that is sports. And that's what we talk about. No politics, no this, no that, no nothing. No gardening. We don't talk nothing. Sports, that's it. We do venture off after, you know, sometimes we may have a couple of drinks and we, you know, we'll... You know, color outside the lines, but we always make it back. And that's the focus on sports. Well, tonight's top headlines, there's actually a lot to talk about once you really start talking about it. We do have 12 horses. We're going to start off with this because there's something going on. 12 horses now are dead. At Churchill Downs, since April 27th, 12 horses. They've either died directly from their injuries or they had to be euthanized because of their injuries. Well, another one died, I think, yesterday at the Preakness. So something's going on. Churchill Downs has now shut their track, and they've moved to another location like 2 hours away or something like that. Whatever it is, they moved to another place. They've checked the track. They can't find anything with that. So they've also done safety precautions like horses can only race so much and do this. And if a horse finishes 12th place four times, oh, they got to go to the vet, you know, and find out something wrong. Well, I mean, who knows what – they're also saying that breeding may be a party to this as well, which, you know, is obscure as it may sound, but it could be true. It could very, very, very well be true. So, you know, unless we know yet, we don't know. But we still have to talk about it, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about it. Also, moving on, we do got Seth waiting in the wings. We're going to get you, my friend. Hold on there, shipmate. Raiders downplay Jimmy G's foot injury. Well, of course they do. I mean, this is football. I mean, I can't – I mean, how many times did – I mean, Belichick, oh, we don't know if Brady's ready, man. We don't know. We don't know. He's touch and go, man. We don't know if he's going to be able to suit up on Sunday. We just don't know. You know, we'll have to find out. That's all a mind game. Jimmy G's ready. He's always going to be hurt. And that's the thing. And I know all this talk, if everybody wants to see Brady suit up, because they know what's going to happen. Jimmy G is just one of these guys that gets hurt a lot. Look, he's going to keep you in the game. He's like Doug Flutie. I mean, Doug Flutie came in, did his job. He won more than he lost, but, you know, he never could. You know, get that team, you know, and all this, but whatever. But, I mean, Jimmy G, you know, whatever, we'll have to find out. And I don't know if Brady's coming back, but, oh, God, would that be a great story. Would it not? Everybody wants to see it. And that's why it ain't going to happen, because everybody wants to see it. We jinxed it. So, anyway, Washington Commanders, I don't know. It's a bogus, and I'm losing my voice, and I apologize. We're going to have to bring Seth on here soon. But people are suing, saying the Commanders, you can't have the name because it's close to our – it's a bunch of crap. But anyway, they should change the Commanders, first of all, because it's a stupid name. In Cleveland, the Guardians, seriously? Oh, stop. You're killing me. Well, anyway, two more. We do have the Stanley Cup Finals begin tonight. Florida against the Las Vegas Golden Knights tonight at 8 p.m. and the Denver Nuggets are now in the NBA Finals. And, of course, which is going to be a tradition, and it started, but then it went away, and then it came back. But we're going to have to keep it as a tradition. Seth, with his This Week in Sports, the history, and a whole bunch of really, really, really cool trivia, and that's very fascinating to me. I love it all. So anyway, without ado, let's bring on Seth, my good friend. Welcome aboard, and happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday. It sounded like we had Viper as well.
Viper has not reported in. I don't know. He didn't crash into the mountains, I hope.
It sounded like he was, like, unmuted for a second.
No, Viper's not on board yet. Not that I know of.
Oh, no. If we just start off with the horses for a caveat.
This
is something past. Yes. I think that was very smart to quarantine that racetrack, try to figure out if it was some type of weird thing that could affect horses as a disease of some sort.
Yeah.
That showed negative, which is now making me believe, one, have they overrun these horses? Two, are they using PEDs? But all I know is, bottom line, none of these horses are cheap. You and I, combined with our lifetimes, could not buy one of these horses. So
millions of dollars.
The owners or whatever plus have lost these horses. This is a major monetary loss for them.
Well, you know, when we're talking about the cause, and yeah, you're right. They double and triple checked the track, but still, they don't want any more horses dying in their track, and I don't blame them. But they did change, which tells me that I think they know what the problem was. Is they were overworking the horses. That's why they changed their safety. I think I got it here somewhere in one of these things.
No, honestly, that sounds like a very viable solution to their problem. The only thing is, in reality, 12-plus horses work to death in a very, very short period of time. These horses are millions of dollars each. No,
well,
I don't believe
it. Tells me it's got to be a little bit more. It's got to be more than just overworking the horses. I think it's bigger than that. And I think PEDs might be involved. Now, Baffert, he won the Preakness, his eighth Preakness. Well, he's just coming off of his suspension because he was drugging up his horses. So, I think if you get caught once drugging up a horse, you're out for life. You can kick Pete Rose out of baseball. I've got the best team. And he gets thrown out for life, but this guy drugs up a horse and he gets a year suspension. I'm sorry, but that's wrong.
Oh, no, and there's so much money in this stuff. It's not even funny or cool.
Well, it pisses me off.
Well, no, I mean, it's still, in my opinion, a great sport.
Yeah.
But if it's so tainted at what percent, 50%, 70%, you're really making this about the money and the wagers and the bets. That's all.
But here's the thing. Yeah, we've had in the past horses being drugged before. Yeah, everybody's been doing that, and that's been done since the 20s, 30s. That's been done even in the 1800s. That's been done. But, and, you know, you get caught, you know, whatever. But there's never really been anything like 12 horses in a month, a little over a month. And it's April 27th. That's May. Yeah.
No, and you have to talk about when you're talking about million-dollar horses plus, they are groomed and well they eat better than I do.
Oh, God. Well, they got vitamins. And, yeah, I mean, they've got you know, all this. But, you know, I think a combination of, you know, we'll look at Lyle Alzado. You know, the early steroids, you know, tore his body, his bones just, you know, the body just disintegrated. Well, I think whatever they're putting in with these horses is doing the same thing to their bones.
But,
Horses just don't do that.
No, but this could also be that, like, let's say there's a major, I'm just going in theory, but there's
a major supplier.
All these horses to all the organizations.
That's what I've been thinking too.
It's the one steroid drug that they can't detect. You know what I mean? But that was a bad batch. That was a bad batch.
That's what I was thinking too. That it's you know, or I've been thinking sabotage, like, you know, these animal activists or something that want to stop horse racing. Well, okay. We'll kill off your horses and then you won't have it. That's just how they think. They're crazy people. But, I mean, at this point, I mean, again, that's all you can do is talk about the possibilities because nobody really knows at this point. At least nobody's come out and said this is the official story, which doesn't mean there's the true story. It just means the official story.
Well, no. And anybody that's ever followed horse racing for the last 20 plus years knows this is not a common occurrence. There is no way this is a common occurrence. Like,
no, it is not. No, that's what I'm saying. This has never happened before.
You might have heard about a horse dying here or there every decade, one or two. A decade. And, you know, I don't have to Google it and look it up. I'm just saying, when they were running in their prime and playing the Preakness and the Belmont and the Kentucky Derby or whatever, yeah, that's in their prime. Yeah, they're going to die after that, but they haven't been racing for X amount of years. So, yeah, this is there's something more to this story.
I think it has to be, and I think it's like a perfect storm. I think it's a lot of things going wrong at the same time. Overworking the horses, feeding them this bad batch of whatever, God only knows what it is, or whatever they're doing. Whoever came to town and said, hey, I got the latest and greatest, and so everybody's, you know. But again, they've checked the track. I don't know. Well, yeah, I guess you'd have to find out what the horses that didn't die, what are they eating, and what are the other horses eating? I'm sure they've looked at that, but they're not talking about it. So it tells me I think maybe they might know. And they want to clean this up. This would be a big scandal.
Well, no, I mean, so we talk about, what, 12 horses, right? 12 maybe plus. How many are in a wreck? 18 tops? 12? 14? 16? What is it?
What do you say?
When you see a racetrack and you watch them run.
Right.
No, I'm just asking.
What?
I can't remember.
You say how old are they?
No. Like when the horses are actually in the pit and before they get released, how many horses race at one time? Is it like 16 or 18?
Well, sometimes 14? It all depends. Sometimes there's a lot. Sometimes at Kentucky Derby, horses drop out, so there isn't one. But I've seen it, just loaded. Yeah, there's, 15, something, 20, I think. I mean, there's a lot of horses that race at once.
Dangerous. I'm just going into a percentage. Let's go high end, and let's say it's 20, right?
You're talking about percentages of horses race.
12 out of those 20 are dead.
Right.
Uh-oh.
No, right, exactly.
What just happened?
Well, then
those
you got one
the
at the Preakness.
Horses in the world.
I think it is something somewhere is causing these horses, because now you got one at the Preakness, so now you know you're going to have more. These other tracks are going to have more. Now, I know they moved the horses from, I think it's Louisville, where Churchill Downs is, wherever it is. They moved them like 2 hours at another track. Well, if horses start dying there, then you know it's not the track. You know it's got to be the vitamins, and you got to find out where
And at that point, in all honesty, you have to take those horses, no matter what the owners want to have done or whatever, and quarantine them all together and say, if they're still okay at a certain point in time and properly maintained, then it wasn't the track. But you have to do it.
Well, also now, one thing I think is, you know, it really plays a really big possibility, and I read it somewhere and now I can't find it, and that is the breeding. If you can take a look and find out, hey, look, there's a lot of horses that are related to each other. Even Man of War still has, you know, they've got, you know, relatives.
Just the breeding stock, certain races. They got, I don't know what it is, like a 4 or 8 month time, but then that donation is worth,
if you can find a lineage, a connection, you know, through lineage that these horses are, you know, somehow, however they are breeded. Like if you want to have skinnier legs or if you want to have thicker legs, these horses are bred to have everything perfect. In every way, you know, and so they take sperm and move it to this and move it to that, and you know, it's like mad science is what it is. And if you're breeding, you know, this particular horse, you know, a certain way, like a bulldog is really not supposed to be sniffing and not have a flat face. That was man turning that into there. So if you're doing that, yeah, it's obviously doing something to these horses' legs that is causing these horses injuries. And that's a shame. A horse hurts his leg, he's done, he's dead. He's, you know, and again, like you said, I mean, these are millions of dollars that are invested in this, and you would think these owners have got to be like, hey, you know, unless maybe they've got $12 million to, oh, well. So we lost a couple hundred million. Oh, well. Must be nice. No, but
you really have to talk about the major owners, the major players in all these races. That was 60% of the population wiped out. Yes, they have other horses that are coming up. They're not ready. This other horse was supposed to run for 2 more years.
Well, I did notice it was a 6-year-old that died, and I didn't know they raced that old. I thought mainly they were like 2, 3, 4 year olds. I didn't know they went, you know, to 6. Maybe it's the age. Maybe they're racing them, you know. Most of these horses are really only like, what, 2, 3 year olds, 4 or 5? I'm not an expert.
That was a money producer. You know what I mean? Like, you got to race it that long. But, unfortunately, you're going to run to death, literally.
Here it is. A 6-year-old horse died after being injured in a race at Belmont Park. Ahead of next week's Triple Crown finale in New York. So Belmont's killing them now. God almighty. I mean, they're just dying.
Well, that's a 6-year-old, though, so.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Maybe they're racing them too old. I didn't think they raced after, like, 4 or 5 years. I thought 5 was the most. I don't know. I'm not an expert. I mean, I have no idea. I'm totally ignorant.
They don't know the genetic breeding that they've been doing for so long. And, you know, what they're, like, way back in the day, I knew, like, 2 to 4 years for a horse in its prime to race. And then that was it. So even hearing now, today, 6 years, boggles my mind, but then they ran it to death, you know. And you can still get stock out of it, like, later in the 5th, 6th year without, you know, running it. So, yeah, very bizarre.
Oh, I got it wrong. There wasn't a horse that died at the Preakness. I got it wrong. It was the Belmont. Okay, I got it wrong. That's right. I got 2 stories screwed up. The Belmont did, but there was another horse that died. And that's the point. Injured his right front leg. Well, yeah, I mean, something's going on here. And if it is 6-year-olds, I mean, like I said, I'm not an expert, but I honestly, God, did not think they were racing at 6. I thought they were pretty much, you know, I mean, a horse's life, I mean, you're lucky to get 20 years out of a horse if they are treated, I mean, like kings. But in the wild, I think they only go, what, 10, 12 years in the wild? That's it?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, 6-year-old, man, that's an old man. You know, I mean, God. But, you know, but I mean, I hope they find out what's going on. And if it is the breeding, I hope they change the way they breed. And, you know, if you've got a horse that's been breeded that way, well, you know, just put it out to the pasture and ride it every once in a while, but don't beat it. Don't race it.
Are you throwing out the theory that maybe possibly these horses are all interrelated and it might be inbreeding and, like,
well, hey, there could be that too.
You know, like a bad heart valve or something.
Well, hey, look, it could be that too. I mean, at this point, people, these are just theories that people are throwing out, and they all make sense. If you know, I mean, they all are, I guess you would say, good suspects. You know what I'm saying?
The usual suspect.
Yeah. I mean, Mr. they Pink. All could be the cause.
I don't want to be Mr. Pink. Why am I Mr. Pink?
I'll be Mr. Purple. You're Mr. Pink. Now shut up. But no, I love horse racing. I do. I think it's magnificent to watch these beautiful creatures. They are just magnificent animals. They are just beautiful. It just, I mean, every time I see a horse, I'm just like, you know, anything that I had inside of me that was pissing me off just went away. It just gone. And, you know, you see a Clydesdale or this or that, but.
You can just see certain animals in a certain element, and they need to do something. A horse needs to run. That's,
yeah.
It's so natural. They want to run. Not all the time. They're a big animal.
No, but you got a field. I mean, they run. My grandfather had a horse all the time, and it would run. We had a big enough field, and it would run around in circles and then jump up and down and get it. It's like your cat does the same thing. They go running around the house for no reason, you know. but, you know, the way that they run these horses, and maybe I think, like I said, I think it's kind of a perfect storm where it's a combination of a whole lot of little things that can be easily fixed, and you're just doing too many at once, and, you know, you've got combustion.
Yeah, I mean, this story has so many loose ends that I think we'll never really know the truth, ever. There's going to be some type of a cover-up.
Well, if you were, let's say, an executive of, you know, either horse racing or the NFL or this and that, of course, you're going to try to do everything you can. Oh, I got a big wasp in the house. Oh, God. Cat, go ahead and kill it. Well, no, she just did. Oh, God, now it's on my bed. Oh, she's eating it. Oh, yeah, yeah. But anyway, as I digress, what the hell are we even talking about? I lost my train of thought. My cat ate a wasp.
With all the horse racing stuff, it still, to me, is one of the greatest things still to see. It's probably an old, ancient Roman, whatever, spectacle thing, or even probably earlier than that, civilization. And when you see horses run as fast as they can, and I just still care about the animal. And if these people are doing some bad stuff to get different results for the animals and it's killing them, I'm going to be really more than upset, you know.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, we got to find out, and that's why I don't like that Baffert. I mean, I don't care. You were drugging your horse, and you get a 1-year suspension, and now you win the Preakness again. You know, I just don't like that. If you're going to be doing that to a horse, putting these drugs, a lifetime ban, period. And the owner, I mean, look, I know you don't have anything to do with the horse because you just own it. But you got to make damn sure that this doesn't happen because you are the owner. You know, the buck stops with you. So if you're going to hire these people, you need to hire the right kind of people because you're going to take the heat. And I think if you have very strict punishment for drugging the horse and maybe some jail time, you know what I'm saying? I mean, cruelty to animals, don't you get jail time? Well, why not have it for this? I'm not saying that people are doing this. I mean, I don't know, but if they are, you know, physically harming these horses to, like what you said, profit, oh, at the horse's expense, then, yeah, I think that's, I think jail time is absolutely in order.
No, and I think in a lot of different sports throughout history, if people don't understand sports history, there's always been some shady stuff that happened, and it needed to be cleaned up. You know what I mean? You had a presentable business, but you can't run it like the old days.
Hey, look at the NBA. Remember they had the
right now it's time to clean it up. That's all.
Right. I mean, the NBA, they had the referee scandal. Baseball with the Black Sox. They're also with the Houston Astros. But, I mean, there's been cheating going on forever since the Romans. Since there's been a competition, they're going to cheat.
The New England Patriots are still doing fine.
Right. But, you know, when this comes to the horses' lives, and I think that, you know, I think most people can see, hey, wait a minute. Is it really worth it to do this to this magnificent creature for you to get rich? What are you doing? I mean, there's no sense in it. That's the thing. I mean, there's just no friggin' sense in it. But we don't know what's doing this. I mean, again, it could be the breeding, that they're breeding them with too thin of legs or too this, or maybe they are inbred it too much. I mean, who knows?
A lot of times, just like in any type of stock, in livestock, I'm sorry if I'm talking farm talk, but in pure bloods or whatever, the pure stock, the best stock, they're slightly now inbred at a certain point and just have to be. And what if that one got in there and all of a sudden
four-year span
that should be in their heyday, there's a, like you said, a bad, you know, something in the heart or something.
Let me see what, okay, it gives the name of the horse, but it doesn't give the age. It just says what happened. Philly was in a pack during a turf race before breaking down in the stretch. Churchill Down said she had catastrophic damage to her right foreleg. Okay, that's another right leg. Philly died after opening night race. We know that the horse was racing on turf when she collapsed and threw her rider while being eased up. Veterinarians rushed to her, she became and died before she could be fully evaluated. Cause of death has yet to be released. I think horse racing, this is what I wanted to say. If you were, you know, this was your thing, horse racing or NFL or any sport, whatever, you have to kind of cover up because you don't want your sport having a bad name. But it comes to a point where you have to be able to keep your good name, but you have to clean your house. And, you know, I think there's too many horses that have died that if you do know what the hell is going on, Churchill Downs, it's time to start sweeping the floors. That's what I'm saying. Use the mop, you know.
Yeah, no, and it happens in every sport. It's just if this is kind of part of the thing, clean up right now, and then the PR and stuff, you'll be fine. And
clean up on aisle 7.
They'll forget about it in 5 years. They'll be fine. No, well, I mean, not even. I was giving the American public credence.
Well, no, I know what you're saying. I mean, there is a lot of money, but here's what bothers me is there is a big push for, you know, these animal activists are trying to get rid of the sport to begin with. And now when you've got this going on, and this is all why I'm thinking it could be sabotage. But whatever the case is, you know, horse racing cannot take a big major blow. Because it would destroy it. And it would not only destroy the Triple Crown, but it would destroy horse racing's all over the place. It's not just, you know, three cities. It's all over the place. It's all over the country. It's all over the world. And, you know, it's big, big, big business, and it could really, it could be horrible. I think, I hope to God they figure out what the hell it is and solve it. 26 days left in the circuit, so we'll find out how many more die.
Yeah, it's getting out to be a subject that's so depressing and sore. Can we go to a different subject?
Yeah, I don't like talking about it, but, you know, it bothers me, and I don't want to see this sport destroyed. I don't want to have it where it becomes taboo and you can't enjoy it anymore. And New York needs to bring back OTB so you can go there. You don't have to spend much money. I mean, you can go there and spend a couple of bucks on a race and then go another one. I mean, you could spend all day for 20 bucks.
I've been to every single type of sports organization, high profile, best of the best in America for a lot of different stuff. NBA, NFL, NHL, NBA, MLB, so forth and so on. NASCAR. When you're at any of it live, it is all amazing.
But oh, to me, absolutely.
Once I'm in a baseball field, I'm that nerd that's there 2 hours early. I'm one of the last people that they kick out through security.
Well,
to me, baseball is
absolutely
bad.
Here's what I hate is when people show up to the ballpark in like the second or third inning, and then they leave in the seventh because they were, you know, the traffic. Yep. It's like, why did you even come to the ballpark? You show up second, third inning, you leave in the seventh. It's like, do you even care about the game? Why are you here? And then they sit in the front row taking away a seat from somebody who would respect it and enjoy it. And then they're talking on their phone the whole time. Ah, that bothers me.
Oh no. It is. So disappointing when you see everything that you just described. And I go to so many baseball games that I see this every time I go to a next game. You just hope that there's enough people that will still respect the game and love it enough to keep it as pure as you can, because you can never keep it as pure as you want to, because the game has always changed. But as a purist, if you refute it as often as you can, you slow the progress of that change. So even this extra innings crap with the guy in second base, whatever, that is absolute garbage. F you, I don't care. I almost want to cuss.
Yeah. I know. Hey, so tonight is game. We're going to go to the NBA. Tonight is game two. It looks like Denver won last June 1st, 2 days ago. And, they play tomorrow night. Denver. I was hoping Viper would come in. I wanted to talk about the NHL. Excuse my throat. But so this is the first time in Nuggets history that they've ever made the finals.
Yeah, as far as I know, and I know we don't normally talk about NBA basketball, but this is actually a very newsworthy story. I mean,
I'm going to get interested in it.
This organization has been around for a long, long time. It's your first time in the finals. And even when you think about certain players on the Denver Nuggets when they used to have certain teams or set, you're like, now you just realize they never made the finals. You know, it could have been that conference stuff. Oh, you're a conference winner. Or, I mean, a conference contender, but you didn't win. So, yeah. Amazing.
Well, they're playing the Heat. So, hey, you know, obviously, you know, again, I'm not a big NBA fan. And, you know, basketball is only fun in the finals. And, again, it's the last few minutes of the game. It becomes exciting. But I do get into, you know, sometimes the finals if there's a good story. Now, when Michael Jordan and the rest of Michael Jordan et al., it was fun to watch the Bulls. You know, I watched the finals. I didn't really care, you know, but, I mean, there was excitement. You know, I'm proud to say, hey, you know, I mean, watching Michael Jordan on TV, those are memories that not too many people will, you know, ever be able to have.
I can honestly say as a person that totally loved the Detroit Pistons back in the day, the Bad Boys, even blah, blah, blah afterwards. But when Detroit played Chicago at a certain point, and it was going to be the passing of the baton, and Michael and Scotty and everybody else was taking it away, it was unbelievable. Like, I swear, Michael Jordan just stopped time. And
well,
you're like, what's going on? And boom, he's just out of nowhere, and he exploded, going to, like, Mars. And you're like, wow.
Well, what I meant was not too many people are going to be having, you know, people that were born afterwards. And, you know, there's a lot of people alive today that, you know, it's already passed. And it's like, wow, I got the chance to see, you know, history. I got a chance to see Tom Brady. Pete Rose. I mean, these are things
I'm just saying, I have a slight basketball background that I would say personally myself, without even getting to see him play ever live, I only got to watch film. But the best basketball player, in my opinion, Bill Russell. And I don't like the Boston Celtics for anything.
Well, we had Portland Trailblazers. And my mom was a big she liked the Trailblazers, and then they were known as the Jailblazers. Well, my dealership had a deal with the Trailblazers, and they would come to our dealership all the time. They had demos, and we knew them all, and they would come, and we'd have parties, and we'd bring people, and they'd shoot baskets, and, you know, and they would get out free tickets if you sold a bunch of cars. Well, I'd give them to my mom, and they used to go to the old Memorial Coliseum, and then they got the Rose Garden, you know, and... But basketball now in Portland, I don't know. Blazers just not – it's not that popular anymore. It used to be, I mean, you know, Trailblazers, you know, it was everywhere. You know, but sports anymore just seems to – I don't know. Not every town is as it used to be. But I do love good stories, and I'm watching the highlights. And I'm going to become a Nugget fan. I'm going to be rooting for the Nuggets. I hope they do it.
Oh no. It is the Cinderella story of franchises. That, you know what? And on top of it, they might have broke their cherry just like the old Red Sox, just like the old Cubs.
Yeah.
And they might get two out of this or three because that Jokic game is
they beat the Heat by 11. That's, you know, in basketball, Usually it's pretty close towards the end, but they beat them by 11. Butt whooping. You
yeah,
know, that,
but
that's taking control.
Yeah, the other team's filling them out. Trust me. The Denver was well rested, but like you said,
it's a long seven games, man. It's a long. Hey, that fourth game is the hardest. Yeah, you won three in a row. Oh, that's great. Yeah, now try to win four. Tell that to the Yankees. Remember? I mean, to Boston. How did you lose to Boston? You were up three
games.
Yeah,
it was 3-0, right? It was 3-0.
Three
games. Yeah, we remember.
Oh, my God. I remember I watched that game not too long ago, the end.
And when you watched them win the first game, game four, you were like, oh, my gosh, we're going to get swept now. It's going to be four in a row. They're going to do
it. Well, I was thinking, though, after the first game, I was like, I wonder if they could do it.
Like, still the rain, Kevin Costner. People can't see, like, all the players on the
But after they won the second game, you were like, hey, wait a minute. You know, winning the first game, okay, but winning two? And then when they won the third, you were like, oh, okay, they are destined now. And then they did it, and they were screaming at Yankee Stadium. They're screaming, in your house, in your house. Oh, my God in heaven. Oh, Yankee fans were defeated. There were more Boston fans at Yankee Stadium that stayed for the game than Yankee fans. Yankee fans just, they just got up and left. And,
you know what? Good for them. Good for them. Because I am a Tigers fan, but I am also a Yankees fan and a Mets fan. And if I was a Yankees fan and I saw that and I knew we were going to lose and just, yeah, I'd get out of there as soon as I could. Like, F you.
Oh, Mets fans were having a whole Mets fans could. Oh, Mets fans were just in seventh heaven. They loved it. They loved it. There's a lot of Yankee haters, you know. And I mean, Yankees are the Yankees, and you're going to have a lot of lovers, and you're going to have a lot of haters. But still, more people know who the Yankees are than any other team. Say what you want. I mean, they got the most Hall of Famers. They got the most World Series rings. They've got the most everything, most All-Stars, the most everything. I mean, New York Yankees are a face of baseball, period.
No, if you talk about the Yankees, then if you talk about all the different positions, that they probably have Hall of Fame. And then you just want to assemble one lineup in baseball. You might not have to go any farther than the New York Yankees.
Well, I mean, here's what you would do. You need another team for them to play. So you take the best Yankees. Now, how are you going to do that? I mean, you're going to have double up. I mean, face it.
Well,
I mean,
got Babe Ruth in there somewhere. Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
And Mickey Mantle for the, you know.
We can go at this all day.
I mean, I know that's what I'm saying. You can go all day and who you're going to get.
Gary Jeter is the best shortstop for the New York Yankees. Besides A-Rod. A-Rod wasn't that shortstop team. But Derek Jeter shortstop in New York Yankees.
You know, when you got two guys that can play the position at a certain level, well, once you get to a certain level, and this is how I do it. I know we got a caller. If you want to talk, press 1, and it'll give me an icon. But once you get to a certain level, I mean, yeah, Derek Jeter, I mean, say what you want. Not too many balls got past him. And they said, Alex Rodriguez was a better shortstop. Well, no balls got past either one of them. So how can you say one's better than the other? Derek Jeter got how many more hits than A-Rod, but A-Rod got a lot of more home runs. Of course, he was taking a lot of, you know, PEDs, whatever, this and that. He didn't need to, and he still would have come close. He still would have made the Hall of Fame. He would have got a little 500. Yeah, and but one thing I noticed about Derek Jeter, and I said that through his whole career, is every time the Yankees were getting their butts whooped, and Jeter gets up either in the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning, it's his last at bat, he always found a way to get on first, either by a walk, get hit by a pitch, or get a hit or something. He would get on first, no matter the eighth or ninth inning, and there's two outs in the ninth inning. Derek Jeter gets up, he gets on first.
You remember those Yankees teams with two outs in the ninth, and they somehow won, or in the eighth? Like, it was this crazy thing. Like, everybody hit twice sometimes. Everybody.
Yankees could have a comeback in the eighth and ninth inning at Yankee Stadium, and when the Yankees come back, the crowd goes absolutely nuts. How that stadium didn't crumble with people kicking and stomping. I mean, that concrete, I don't know how it made it that many years, but it should have collapsed like the old RFK Stadium when they were stomping all the time. I mean, it was still made out of wood. I mean, good Lord. But, no, those games between Boston and Yankees with that rivalry, that was always fun because you always knew that Boston at the end was going to lose. But when they won, I just was like, oh, my Lord.
Something that I think I can only discuss with you. How important was that Babe Ruth agreement for the first $100,000 contract with the Yankees, whatever the Red Sox got in return?
Their owner got to produce a Broadway play that flopped. He sold Babe Ruth to produce a Broadway play, and it flopped. And what happened to Babe? Well, he just went on to straight to the Hall of Fame, that's all. But, I mean...
No, not just the Hall of Fame. Like, most people don't even understand. I think he was 9-0 in postseason play in baseball as a pitcher.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And
well,
then,
he was in the World Series with Boston.
500-plus home runs. He's the only guy ever to do that. And the only one that even has a chance right now is Shohei Ohtani. And he's going to have to give up pitching, you know, if he's going to have a chance at it. He'd be an everyday player.
You know, I mean, things are different back then. I mean, look at Nolan Ryan. I mean, he went 200 and how many innings? 11 innings, something like that, 200 and some odd pitches, almost 300 pitches, some stupid amount like that. You're not going to see that no more. I mean, you can't even go 100 pitches anymore with these guys.
I believe Nolan Ryan started in 1969.
With the Mets.
In the big league.
They went to the World Series.
And just beforehand, when he knew he was going to get called up, Nolan Ryan took whatever amount of money back in those days, probably like 10 grand or something, but he knew he had like 100 grand, you know. He invested it into all these people to tell him the best mechanics and techniques to throw the fastest and the craziest sliders or curves without ruining his shoulder or his arm. He did that back then. People don't know that about Nolan Ryan. Why you do not want to face Nolan Ryan at the end of his career or the beginning of his career or any part of his career. Nolan Ryan amazing.
Again, we do have hold on, Seth. We do have a couple of callers that are on. If you do want to talk, just press the number 1 on your dial. Other than that, just tells you that you want to listen. So just so we understand that. But no, yeah, I mean, things were different back then. Babe Ruth, you know, those stories of eating hot dogs and this and that, and Mickey Mantle being hungover and, you know, and going out and hitting a couple of home runs hungover.
It was with Mickey Mantle. I mean,
well, hey,
Babe
look
Ruth.
At that. But I mean, look at the Mets like, in 86. They were
down
all on cocaine and amphetamines.
He still somehow sat there and drank 5 a.m. And then he played a 1 p.m. game and hit 3 home runs.
I know. Then went out drinking again. And, you know, I mean, again, I mean, look at the 86 Mets. They were, you know, cocaine and amphetamines and this. And everybody hated each other.
Oh, no,
and then,
no, no.
They won the World Series.
We really talk about one of the best baseball players of all time. It has to be Babe Ruth. It really does. And so
well, again, like I was saying, once you get to that one level, you can't say best or more. You just put them at that level. And once you're at that level, that's it. You can't get any higher. You're just a little bit different. Now, again, comparing A-Rod and Derek Jeter. Well, of course, A-Rod was going to be able to get higher because A-Rod was like about 2 feet taller than Derek Jeter. But Derek Jeter was not a midget. Derek Jeter is pretty tall. I think he's 6 foot, 6'1", something. He's like 6-something, you know. So he can, and he balls didn't get past him. Very seldom did Derek Jeter make an error.
Well,
you know, that's what
counts. Well,
it doesn't matter. I mean, you can't say better or worse. I mean.
Yeah, but as an infielder, just if you look at it defensively in baseball, height can actually be a deterrent. So, Derek Jeter's only 6 feet, 6 feet one. That's great. He's already low to the ground.
Well, when you had, I know, but when you had A-Rod and Jeter at third and short, there weren't too many balls that got passed on the left side, on the ground. You wanted to get the ball passed. You had to hit it in the air. You couldn't get it passed on the ground.
And that was the crazy thing that people didn't realize, like, A-Rod could play the hot spot at third. And I'm like, yeah, he can. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. This lineup is sick. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, Robinson Cano used to be the eighth spot. Robinson Cano.
Yeah,
he was the eighth spot. He got into the All-Star game.
Well, no, I mean, they just had they just had a team that just clicked. And I remember when I just moved into New York in 86. And I did not think in Seattle the year before when Ken Griffey slid into home and we beat the Yankees, both me and my brother, we jumped up. And at the house we were living in at the time had kind of a short ceiling. We both banged our heads. And we were just like, ecstatic. Well, the next year I moved to New York, and, you know, I did not think the Yankees were going to get there, and I literally thought the Braves were going to win. Well, you know, the Braves still outscored the Yankees. They won the first, the first two games. The Braves beat the Yankees so bad, the Yankees went on and won four games in a row. Beat the mighty Braves, and the Braves still outscored them. If you take of all the games that you played, they scored more runs. And, you know, but how that Braves lost to the Yankees, I honest to God, I did not believe it. But, and everybody, remember, had concerns with Joe Torre when he came over? Oh, what are you bringing this hump over here for? Oh, my God. Oh my God. Mike and the Mad Dog were going nuts. What are you bringing this guy over for, man? Oh, my God. Oh. Well,
no,
just won a World Series.
The crazy thing is that people, if they don't know baseball history, I would say at least, and I can say this accurately, there was 10 years the Atlanta Braves were in the NLCS or in the World Series. 10 years in a row.
And they got
and
one
they
ring.
One World Series in your life.
That's it.
And their pitching rotations back in those days.
It's just,
fun.
They're all, what part of the Hall of Fame are they in? I mean,
mind-boggling statement. Oh, wow. How did they lose? And then you listen to that pitching rotation, and you're like, those mother effers couldn't hit.
Well, I mean, you had, you know, Larry, which they, in New York, especially in Shea Stadium, watching the Braves come to town. Larry, oh, God, they hate him. Oh, my God. But, yeah, I mean, they even had Andrew Jones. Remember this kid was, he was 18 years old. He comes in, he starts hitting grand slams left and right during the postseason. And you were like, oh, there's no way the Yankees are going to have anything. No, there's no way. The Braves are just too. I mean, they were beating everybody. And they beat the crap out of the Yankees the first two games. It's like, Yankees don't have a chance. Then they come back and went four in a row. What the hell happened? How? It broke all laws of physics. But I won $500. I was the new guy in the town, in the company, and they had a office pool, and I think it was like $5 or whatever it was I put in, whatever. Well, when the Yankees won the World Series, the last game was the big prize, and I had the exact score, and I come back, and I got $500. Because it was a big office. It was a huge office. So, you know, and I thought that was cool. And they were all pissed because I was a new guy. I was only there for like 2 or 3 weeks. And I
nice.
Ended up winning the office pool World Series at $500.
Yeah,
you know,
absolute best.
You know, and the Yankees hometown. I mean, but I honest to God did not think that the Yankees were going to win. I thought there's no way. No. And then after the first two games, after getting just murderated, slaughtered, I mean, just cut up and diced, I mean, just mushed, and then to come back and win four in a row. And then when Boston did it with New York, oh, my God. But, I mean, hey, look, that's why you got to play all the games.
No, and I was saying before, when I saw that first win by Boston, I was like, oh, my goodness. They're going to be this team that creates all these different historical things. But I was like, now they're going to be in the World Series. And I said, if they don't win the World Series, you know, kiss my beeping beak. Because you can't eat your food like that.
Yeah. Well, I just noticed the clock, and we're about 3 minutes over. So we're starting this tradition of This Week in Sports and History. So, Seth, what do you got for us tonight?
Well, I'll just horse racing, actually.
All right.
So this first, 1881, the English jockey Fred Archer, and he ran the horse Iroquois, ran the Epsom Derby in Europe. And it was the first American bred and owned horse that ever competed in the European classics.
Hmm.
So if we're talking about horses, this is kind of an important day, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, Churchill Downs was right around that time, too, weren't they?
Well, this is the first time that an American horse went to Europe and raced over in Europe.
Right.
But like a real, what's that movie with Matt Damon and some of the other people, Ford versus Ferrari or something.
Oh,
it's something like,
Yeah,
this is America's first time with a horse. But we had been talking about horse racing and everything and wanting to be like a gentleman's sport stuff. June 1st, 1881. I thought that was kind of cool.
Oh, it is. I didn't know it was that old. Churchill Downs horse racing in Kentucky, dating back to 1789 when the first course was laid in Lexington. It was 1875 was when, I knew it was then, 1875
no,
in Churchill Downs. Okay.
Actually, though, if you think about that, let's just use that date, right? 1789. Now we're talking 1881. This is basically 100 years later. The American horse people that were training their stuff had 100 years to now introduce it to Europe in their racing. And
yeah.
Knew that money was in Europe. Always has been. For racing horses. Now they'll create their own stuff in America, and they probably already had it. That's why it was so great. But I can definitely see that's how it happened.
Well, this is pretty interesting. Churchill Downs, 1875. Wow, 80 acres. It's on. Well, I got more now, I would imagine, but, well, I think isn't the Preakness the longest? Oh, no, that's Belmont's the longest. It's what, 2 miles? I think Belmont's the longest one. That's why it's so hard to win the Triple Crown. Because of that.
All three courses are slightly different. And they're
right.
Not that far apart, like, but people don't understand that horses run different on different legs. So, yeah.
Well, that's another thing. That's another reason why it makes it so difficult, because each track is a little bit different. You know, I mean, she's a mutter. Oh, no, he's a mutter. How can he be a mutter? Well, today, yeah, he can be a mutter. But, all right, moving on. Okay, what else in sports history?
All right, well, yeah, at least we talked about that. June 2nd, 1883, it was technically the first night baseball game, and that was held in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
1883?
Yeah. June 2nd.
Well,
isn't that crazy? And according to the historians, they said it was dimly lit. So whatever lighting system they had, it was insufficient. But they tried it.
Well, I mean, Edison had just invented the damn thing a couple of weeks ago. I mean, you know. Well, actually, he did it in, the light bulb in, late 1870s, I think. Something like that. I don't know. It doesn't really matter, but. All right, we got anything else?
Let's see here. June 3rd, 1851, it was the first baseball uniforms ever issued in professional baseball, and it was the New York Knickerbockers, and their uniforms consisted of straw hats, white shirts, and blue long trousers.
Wow. But some of those old uniforms, I mean, they had collars and, yeah, some of those were pretty funky, those old. But they played with a softer ball. The catcher didn't even have some of these guys didn't even have a glove. And when the ball was soft, when they first started playing it, you could throw the ball at the runner. If you hit him, you get him out.
Yeah.
I think that would be fun, man. I think that would be fun. You know, kind of like dodgeball and baseball at the same time. Oh, that'd be great. You know,
well,
but
I don't play baseball in a while, Steve, so I wouldn't recommend any of this or what you just recommended to anybody. And everyone, please be safe.
Well, me and Brother X, we've told you about, we used to play, get this. We were in high school, we would play beer tackle soccer. So you're on your motorcycles and you drink beer, and beer's all over the place, and you got to pick it up, and you're drinking beer trying to run your motorcycle and play soccer, and you can tackle the guy. You can jump off of your bike when you're riding and tackle your guy while he's riding. Well, after a while, we kind of realized, you know, we could probably get really, really hurt doing this. Maybe we should just stick to drinking the beer. But it was and we were doing it at night, too. Which
no,
was more dangerous.
Me and my brothers, and we figured out you can't do pile drivers in, like, the WWF. Like, you know, like, that's not real, you know.
But you're boys, you gotta find out what your limitations are, how far you can go. You got to try it. You know, and you got to realize, okay, well, that was kind of stupid. We're going to probably get really hurt, so maybe we shouldn't do it. But you still got to try it.
Yeah, involved a bedpost. Like, it was total WWF or WWE.
Oh, yeah, we do that crap, too. Oh, yeah.
But, no, it was magnificent. It was also a perfect. And then you realize, wow, this is real, and that might hurt them. Oh, no.
Yeah, but, I mean, hey, look, you live and you learn. And, you know, now and today, the powder puffs, I mean, they can't even ride their little tricycle without helmets and knee pads. And, I mean, we used to ride motorcycles. We didn't wear a helmet. Yeah, it's in the dirt. So if you crashed, you only, you know, you got a little dirty. Now, if I was to ride my motorcycle like I did when I was a kid in the dirt, because we had a lot of fields growing up, so we could ride our bikes and crash in the dirt. You didn't get hurt. Now, no. I look at a crash today, and I'm in traction, like I did yesterday working in the yard. I swear to God. But, yeah, I'm looking at trying to find stuff here. But
you talk about weird things. Like, I have a 400-yard drive in ball golf, only because as a farmer, I just sat up on top of the hill and just drove. I never putted and never did approach. And we always had buckets of balls that people just brought us all the time.
You know?
You just practice that all day long.
You know, I kind of wondered when they started the NFL draft, putting it on television. Well, I just found this. This is going back a month or so. But April 29th, 1980, the very young ESPN decided to hold the NFL draft on their network, and everybody thought they were nuts. Well, now it's become, and I think they're getting too big, they're trying to turn the draft into like the Super Bowl. And they're turning it in too big of a show. And look, just stick to the draft. And I'm tired of all these crazy, wacky suits these guys are wearing. Shut up with that. You show up in a suit and tie. You be respectful. If you get drafted, you get drafted. And, you know, cut out the show. Because I do like the draft, and I do like watching it. But I like to see more of the highlights of these guys so you learn who they are. And this draft I thought was horrible. I thought it was terrible. It was a terrible show.
No, they literally try to make more drama. I mean, we realized Kentucky quarterback, his girlfriend that was on Instagram, which the Kentucky quarterback had said just like a week and a half earlier, there is no way I don't want to be on that camera like Ray Quinn or something, paraphrasing.
Well, they kept showing leaving,
and, you know, he didn't get drafted. And
like rubbing
sure
it
enough,
in his face.
Her, like, everything are like 2 million plus or whatever. And you're like, what the F just happened?
Oh, here's something. April 13th, 1986, in honor of the Masters Invitational Tournament, the two of the most honorable agent Jack Nicklaus becomes the Masters oldest champion, then 11 years of Tiger. Oh, no, I thought that was something else. Okay. No. That was, I'm sorry. Oh, Mom. Well, these football rules now, I still don't understand. I don't know, maybe you do, but how I'm understanding it, that if they do a fair catch, and let's say they catch it on the 5-yard line, but they move it to the 25.
Yeah, it's been that way for a while, dude.
No, a fair catch. You get a fair catch on the 5-yard line. That's where you stay, on the 5-yard line. On a kickoff or a punt?
Hey, I don't normally cuss, and I'm not going to do it right now, but they P-ified the word and just fill in a lot of letters over there.
Here's...
Anyways, man, for a long time. Yeah, this is just...
No, I know what you mean by the P-fight, but here's the way to solve it. You get the kicker, whatever line you decide that he wants to kick the ball off of, I would say probably like the 15, because that ball still is going to go towards into the end zone. So he kicks it off, let's say, the 15, but the... The rest of the guys line up on the 5, so 10 yards back. Now, they can't move until the ball is kicked. So now you got 10 yards. Now the ball is going to get put in play, and the guy's not going to get that hurt because you're going to be running into a whole bunch of people all at once, kind of like that electronic football. Remember that? Electronic NFL? You had to have the game, but you couldn't play because the players were just, you know, just bounce around. You remember that game, but... Anyway, you get the ball in play, and they're not going to get past like the 30 or 40 anyway. So why not show people, put the ball in play, they get on the 20, maybe the 30, and less injuries, and you still play football. You know, I don't like, oh, well, somebody gets hurt. Well, then we can't do that anymore. Well, why don't you change the way you play, and you can still play football and not get hurt? Oh, no. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're right. I mean, what's next? I mean, we're going to see these guys in heels and skirts and, I mean, good God.
Your stage name is going to go from Chardonnay to Zebra Gates.
All right. We do got one of our callers wants to talk. I have no idea who you are, so I'm just going to read the last 4 digits of your phone number. When I do, you're going to be on the air. So if the last 4 digits are 4056, you're on the air. Welcome aboard and happy Saturday.
Hey, Kenneth. I want to pay tribute to Dale Murphy because I'm going to piggyback off the Atlanta Braves in the 90s.
Dale Murphy,
played 18 years for Major League Baseball, mostly with the Atlanta Braves, never had the opportunity to play on a winning team.
Hmm.
Yeah, he was traded to the Rockies in 93. But I just want to pay tribute to him, and he was one heck of a player. I just wish he could have had, you know, a winning team. The Braves suffered a lot of losses in the 80s. They turned that team around in the 90s, And at ticket prices in the 80s, you could get a good ticket down the lines for about $15, $20. And, you know, 5 years later in the mid-90s, you know, it doubled in price. You couldn't get a ticket at Polk County Stadium. But he was one heck of a player. Never really got the recognition that he should have received just because he played for a team that never won that much. But
well,
he never got a
No, you're absolutely right. And my brother was a big Dale Murphy fan, and when I was in the Navy, we went to Dodger Stadium. We got tickets, and this was in the late '80s. He struck out four times in a row, and I went and I told him he wanted to find out. He goes, "How'd he do it?" I said, "He struck out four times in a row." And he goes, "No way." I said, "Yeah, he did, but no. I mean, Dale Murphy, though." Yeah, it is a shame, and we've talked about a lot of athletes that are great athletes but just never been on a winning team. A Tony Gwynn. I mean,
yeah, you're right. Charles Barkley.
Yeah. You can go on for hours, yeah. Dan Marino.
Carl.
I mean, Dick Butkus, for God's sake.
I just wanted to mention his name because you guys were talking about the Braves and for some reason, he popped into my head. My cousins were always big Braves fan. They lived in Alabama and Mississippi, all three of those states, Atlanta, well, Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, loved Dale Murphy.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought him up because we haven't, I don't think we've ever mentioned Dale Murphy on this team. And you're right. I mean, he kind of got pushed to the side. And I do believe he is in the Hall of Fame. And rightly so.
Well, he came up at the same time period as Don Manning.
Well, I appreciate you having me on the air.
Do the thing.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. And thanks for calling. I'll just we'll just put you on mute so you can stay and listen. And if you want to speak again, just press the number one. So thank you very much for calling, and looks like Viper's not going to make it tonight, huh, Seth?
Well, it's 7, whatever.
Yeah, he's coaching, but, you know, moving on, with the NFL, this is going to be, the more I think about it, this season... There are so many questions right now. And looks like he wants to come back. So let's bring him on. But let's see what he has to say. Okay, I'm sorry if I cut you off too early, caller. Go ahead again. I'm sorry.
Now I'm just listening to you guys. So I just wanted to make a statement about Dale Murphy and Atlanta Braves.
Oh, no, okay. So you still have the number one one push, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we're moving on to football here. You got any comments on this season? I mean, do you think who's got the best chance that you can see right now? I mean, New York Jets think they've got it. I mean.
Yeah, with Aaron Rodgers and the other pickups they've had, I mean, they should finish either probably one or two in that division, I think, but.
Well, they have to.
The Dolphins.
I mean,
yeah.
You're going to put that much. You're going to put that much money, that much effort, and the Jets have been trying to build, and they got a new coach, and if you're going to invest that much in bringing, you know, Aaron Rodgers at the twilight of his career, and you know you're only bringing him over there not to supplement and you know, be a stopgap for the new rookie. You're there to win the Super Bowl, and that is it. And he's got to succeed this year or next. There's no
way. Hey, old Aaron Rodgers, welcome to AFC with probably the top six quarterbacks in the league before you even talk about Jalen Hurts. There you go.
All right, looks like we've got Lou on board. We haven't talked to Lou in a while. So, Lou, my good friend, welcome aboard. Happy Saturday.
Thanks. Are you guys on last week? Because I didn't see you posted up on Blog Talk. I thought
last
week.
No, we we took Memorial Day off the weekend.
I thought so.
They were doing some stuff, so I apologize. But no, we're talking about football right now. And, you know, again with the Aaron Rodgers, and well, who do you think really has the best shot, Lou? I know it's very difficult. It's very early, but you know, everybody's always thinking about, you know, their team, and you know they're going to do it. We know you're a Jets fan. Again, I think it's there. Well, they're playing the Bills game one, week one. They have to win. Mm. Now that's going to be telling whoever loses that game, that's going to be very – that's going to come back and haunt them at the end of the season. That's a division game. That's a tough game. You can't lose.
No, I don't buy that because, you know, although it would be a loss, you know, for whoever was in the first week, but the first week, you know, doesn't really justify how your season's going to go. I mean, anybody can make up, you know, 1 week. I mean, I've seen teams that have lost, you know, the first two or the first three and come back in to make the postseason. So it might hurt a little bit, but this is totally the season. We can bounce back from that.
But what I'm saying is the reason why it's going to be so critical is because that division is – you've got four, you know, really, you know, good contending teams. And every win is going to be very valuable. Every loss is going to be very, very expensive. And, you know, making up a division game only gets you tied. You can't make up a division game. And a lot of times, if you're tied in the regular season, but you've got one better in the regular in the division, you win the division.
Right.
So, but no, I think this is going to be. The more I think about it, though, the more questions I have. There's a lot of teams that should be doing, you know, doing good, but are they? And a lot of teams, you know, you're going to have a couple surprises. You know, I mean, there's going to be somebody, well, what are you doing over here? This is, you know, this is where the big boys play. What are you doing here? You know?
Yeah.
Well, we come to play.
Yeah.
But the Raiders.
Just come to play.
Yeah, the Raiders, you got to do something this year.
Yeah, Raiders.
I mean, they've got, you've got to do something. And I don't know if they got it.
That Tom Brady wants to be a state percentage owner in the team or the Raiders. Has anybody seen this? And what's the line?
No. No, I don't think the Raiders got it, even with Jimmy G, and he's going to be hurt.
I'm just saying that Tom Brady is a small percentage owner of the Raiders.
Yes.
And we need a quarterback. Brady's your quarterback.
Well, everybody wants it, but it probably won't happen. But, God, would that be a great story. You know, he comes back out of retirement.
Garoppolo is hurt.
Well, I can see it now. He's up there in the box in the first half. He's up there in a suit and tie with all the other owners and the mucky mucks. And he goes down, and the camera catches him going, you know, down to the back cave. And next thing you know, he's coming out of the tunnel, and he's suited up number 12. Oh, God, that would be – the crowd would just go nuts. But that's not going to happen. It's a great story for, you know, a movie. You know, but
what a good guy.
Yeah.
Everything that everyone was a fan. And what if it was just for like two or three games, Garoppolo gets healed, Foley comes back, and they were 3-0 and he just went in their form. Like, it's the perfect storybook Cinderella thing, you know?
Well, I mean, Jimmy G's got a lot to prove, okay? I mean, hey, look what he did in San Francisco. I mean, but he never got any credit for it. Now he's off, off that team, and now he's got a chance. And hopefully, I'm really pushing that he does good, and he gets credit for it. They hated him in San Francisco, and all he did was win. I mean, he took you to, what, two title games? I think he took you to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you go with Lance. Ah. But I do like their Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. I do like that kid.
Hopefully, Brock.
But he's got a pretty bad injury. I mean, he could be Wentz. I mean, look what happened to Wentz when he was doing great. And he jumps into the pack, hurts himself, and then Foles has to come and get the credit for winning the Super Bowl. And you know Foles would have won. They were going to win that year.
Dear God, also got the same injury. When you go through a full motion over a hand and you hit a helmet, your thumb is one of the most important things to throw a football. So at that point, good luck the rest of your life.
Well, same with Derek Carr. You know, I mean, he's never been the same.
Am I not? Derek Carr with his leg injury, you can't plant your foot right. There's a lot of things when you throw the farthest and the most accurate in the world in the NFL. Trust these sort of injuries, you are so screwed.
Well, let me ask you guys, of all the young buck quarterbacks that were drafted, in the first and second round, who do you think has the best shot to be the most successful?
Mm.
I mean, it's very early. I mean, look, I mean, the third, fourth string guy could be the guy. I mean, look, Brady was drafted last round. So
last year, we heard about him in NCAA for Tennessee. They were a top five team for a little bit. And the quarterback was, I believe, his name is Hendon Hooker. And he got hurt late in the season or whatever. But Tennessee was number one at one point. And Detroit got him in the third round, and you know Jared Goff is already starting, so you can let Ann Herker, like Gale and whatever. And I'm like, I've ever seen him on my show.
Yeah, well, a lot of weird things have happened.
Kenneth?
Drafts.
Yeah. I think C.J. Stroud's going to do well. I think that he got past all the BS during the draft with his test skills and stuff like that. Just depends on if he can get blocking. He's got to have a team around him. He played very good against Georgia in the national championship. They should have won it, but they had to miss field goal at the last second. So I think he's got a chance. Just even his predecessor that plays in Chicago is not too bad. They just don't have an offensive line that can protect him. I think Stroud has it. They got a history of having bad quarterbacks in the NFL.
You're right. I mean, there is book smarts and there's football smarts, but that is instinct of how to move, when to move, where to move. You know, so that is more. But if you can't remember the playbook and you can't remember what play to call and don't remember what it is, then you got some problems.
You do.
If you can get that down and you know how to move and know how to, but NFL is a completely different league than college.
Yes.
Some guys do better in the NFL than they did in college. And some guys, you know, vice versa. So, again, there's no way to.
He was drafted number one, so, I mean, you think you do something with yourself, but you never know.
Well, look at Lawrence right now out of his class. He's the only one that is so far showing any real signs of becoming a, you know, a leader, and he has become a leader on that Jaguar team. I never was a Jaguar fan, but, I mean, you can't watch that team. They're fun to watch. They're out there backyard football. Come on, guys, let's mix it up.
Yep.
We don't care where the...
And he had a great season last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
He
and, hey, look.
We want to talk about really good quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence is one of the best quarterbacks, not only in the AFC, NFL. Trevor Lawrence. I'm just telling you. That
well,
dude's really good.
He keeps improving every year.
Trevor Lawrence is very good, Skip.
He's improving every year. And look, I mean, he can only get better. And, you know, you still got, you know, Mahomes is fun to watch.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Hurts fan, but I think he's going to fade. But he can do some stuff. He can, and he's big.
Yeah, the thing I like about Hurts is he identifies with this Philadelphia Eagle persona. Yeah. Eagles are going to be in the NFC Championship game next year, whether they go to the Super Bowl or not.
Well,
so
I'm
biased
because I hate everything Philadelphia. So
oh,
I hate the Eagles.
I'm not losing anything.
But, no, look, you can't take away the guy is good and he's big. But I think the I don't know if they're going to go to a title game next year, Seth. I don't know about that. I think them Cowboys, man, look out for them. They're sneaky. That's what you can't touch that team. As soon as you think they're down, all of a sudden they come up.
Yeah,
they piss
well,
you off.
No, basically, yeah, Philly's got it started again. They do.
Well, I still think that NFC North.
The Eagles won't still get in the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But that AFC North, that one. Well, actually, you know, that could end up being a dud because everybody's got so much hype on it. And this is the thing. Every time everybody's got so much hype on, oh, this division or this team is, and then it ends up being the reverse. So, hell, my Seahawks might have a chance. Can't believe $50 million to pay for a backup quarterback. Aye. Oh, he's going to be so good. Oh, no. Yeah, he had one half good season.
Right.
Well, he did that with the Jets. That's why they booted him. They drafted him, thought he was, you know, the answer to life, and he couldn't play. And by middle, it was like the third or fourth game of the second season, they put him on the bench. And he stayed there until Seattle said, hey, we're stupid enough. We'll take him. We'll put him as a starter. I mean, he did all right. I'm not going to say he did a bad job, but he's still, I mean, I don't know. For $50 million, you would think he'd bring you to the promised land. $50 million a year, guaranteed. Oh, God. His first year. He could go out and choke, and he still gets paid.
Yeah.
Sign a contract like that. $50 million? I'll take a dive, no problem.
Actually, I do believe that, Pete. I believe that.
Hey, why not? $50 million? To go up and say, hey, coach, I can't. I got broke my toe. You know, or I got a pulled hammy. Can't play. All right, here's your check. Thanks. I mean, I don't know.
Got a lot of
Well, I think it really should be more merit-based when it comes to sports. You want that $50 million contract? Okay, that's fine. But the fans also want a ring on their, you know, they want that banner in their Yeah, they want that ring. And if you're not going to bring it to them, you're just going to bring me the stats. But when it comes postseason, yeah, I mean, Aaron Judge, oh, he's the greatest. Postseason, what does he do? Well, not much. You know, I mean, and that's what it counts.
The Scott
Brocious. That guy was
Brocious. Who's the pitcher for the Dodgers that chokes in the Kershaw chokes in the playoffs?
And
they make it to the World Series, but he doesn't seem that. I think he had a good year last year, but all the previous years he choked. In the playoffs.
He
nailed it.
It's amazing. I just don't understand that at all. But, well, that's why you got to play the game, man. I mean, you know what happens. A lot of guys are in the Hall of Fame and never even saw. I mean, Dick Butkus. I mean, the greatest defensive player. You know, one of the best, meanest, most villainous men. And you had Gale Sayre on the offense. They're both straight in the Hall of Fame, and they always played on a losing team. The Bears.
Yeah.
No figure.
I think Aaron Rodgers is going to make a big difference in New York. I really do. He can still throw. He's a pocket quarterback, and he's going to. I think they can actually outdo the Bills this year in AFC East.
Well, I'm with you. I think Rodgers is determined, and he's the kind of guy. It doesn't matter what it is. If he wants to do it, he'll get it done. If he doesn't want to do it, no, it's not going to get done.
Yeah.
And I think
his mind's on football.
His mind was not on football in Green Bay, because that got soiled in 2019 when they drafted Love instead of drafting a wide receiver, which he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And rightly so, I can, you know, but the relationship got strained. There's a report out that Rodgers' agent was working behind the scenes to get the GM in Green Bay fired. And so that relationship between Rodgers and Green Bay just went away. And there's no way Rodgers could go one more season in Green Bay. And he wanted out, and now he's out. Now he's fresh. He's clean. He doesn't have any wacko girlfriends right now, so he can concentrate just on football.
A question real quick. Him, Guns, and AC, all these great quarterbacks, he somehow wins the Super Bowl. Get bigger than Tom Brady, come from the AFC Championship, Mr. Bowl in his first year.
Yeah, well, I think the Jets do, and I'm with you. I really do think. I think the Bills are going to, I wouldn't say flop, but I don't think they're going to win the division.
No.
Whoever wins that division, the Buffalo Bills will not be that team. That's what I'm saying.
Not this year.
No, I just see the Bills having problems. And my boys in Cincinnati, God, I want them to succeed. I really do. They're going to win in their division, you know, because their division sucks. But, you know, I really want to see that team do something. I really like, you know, I like Burrow, and I like these guys on the team. So I like a lot of teams, you know, so.
But yeah, the Bengals is about time they do something. Growing up a Reds fan, I just never got into their football. But the Bengals are just a little bit away from making the Super Bowl again. And maybe they can do it this year.
Well, again, you know, they're gonna have, that AFC is stacked. It's going to be very, very tough. If you're in the NFC, you're like, hey, I got a chance. I mean, look at the
South. How are the Steelers going to be this year?
they're always going to somehow find a way to get over 500. That's the Steelers. they're just going to do it.
They do a good job at it. Yeah.
They will find a way to get over 500. And that's just how it is. So, but, and now we lost Lou, it looks like. But, no, I mean, I get all amped up when it starts getting summertime. Because, I don't know, I just, I think football, they need to go have two byes in the season and have, like, March 1st is the Super Bowl. Stretch it out another month. Have two byes during the season so everybody can stay healthy. You play one more game, or you don't even have to play one more game. Just have two byes during the season. And, you know, stretch it out and keep the guys healthy. And, you know, you get more football. Because that lull after the Super Bowl until baseball starts is the most boring time of the year. It's like, it's painful. It's misery. You know, NASCAR used to get me over the hump, but they don't race anymore. So, all right, we got to bring Lou back. We lost him, but
I'm here.
All right, we got you back.
Okay.
No, all I was saying before you left that whoever wins the AFC North, it will not be the Buffalo Bills. That's all. No. Just well, the whole AFC. Now, this stupid story, I don't know if any of you guys heard it, but the story of the Commanders, there's a group trying to sue them. So now this team, just go back to being the football team. I like that better anyway, you know?
Mm.
But, I mean, look, Washington, and they bought the team for $6.05 billion with a B. And that is not a big market team. The D.C. team has never been that big of a market. How $6 billion for that team? Unbelievable. Yeah.
I wouldn't pay that much for that team.
Well, the Broncos broke the record for $4 billion. And that was the Broncos.
Yeah.
And that broke the record. And now this one. Over $2 billion. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, hey, if you've got $6 billion burning a hole in your pocket, why not buy a football team? I mean,
why not?
Buy two. Why not? They're small. Yeah. We'll take one home to the wife. Yeah.
Two? Oh, yeah, sure.
God almighty. But...
hey, honey, why don't I buy a football team? With you? Never.
But, I mean, the argument, though, that they want to, that they're making, it's not an argument. It's a stupid argument. I don't know. They're getting it confused with the Commanders Classic. It's a yearly college football game between Air Force and Army. They're two different. That doesn't even.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
is a stupid argument. That doesn't even make any sense.
No.
One talking about commanders. Yeah, that are graduating, you know, becoming officers in the Air Force or the Air Force and the Army. This is the name of a football team. You do not have an argument. I don't know. And then somebody else is doing them too. The Washington Space Commanders and the Washington Wolf Commanders are several trademark applications. Well, what the hell are the Space Commanders?
Yeah.
The Wolf Commanders. Well, what? I mean, what? Come on. What is this? Just go back
I
to being the Red
Sox. Away now.
I don't know.
Sort of like the Cleveland Guardians.
The Guardians, that is such a stupid name.
Oh, yeah.
The Guardians.
I was lost if it would go back to the Redskins, but they're not going to. It has nothing
no.
to do with race or whatever. It's just that's what they're known. That's a, that's their name. And they had to change their name for political reasons. And, you know, it's just.
It's a shame.
Not quite
and,
how I feel. It is.
And what Seth was talking about, it was defied a little bit with this cockamamie rule. You catch it on the 5 and it goes to the 25. Well, that's not fair. The guy
no.
kicked the ball.
I was going to ask you about that. I just got on the show and I didn't understand what you guys were saying. But if you kick the ball and they get the receiver of the kick, if it's inside the 1 yard line, they automatically get something. Or what? I'm not sure. That's why I asked him.
This is what I don't understand, and that's what I was asking too. But how I understood it was, you get a free catch on the 5 yard line, then they bring it to the 25 instead of on the 5.
Okay,
that's not
that's
fair.
What I kind of thought it. Yeah.
yeah. I mean,
so why did that rule come about?
God, who knows? You know, these college pukes are coming up, and they all think they got to change things because they're not doing their job. If you change, well, you don't need to change the wheel. It's round. You don't need to fix it.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
works perfect. You know, I mean,
yeah.
leave it alone.
Ugh. Yep, I agree
I
with you.
I just don't understand what they're doing to baseball. And now they got a time clock, and the batter gets a strike. And, just play the game. You know, if you got somewhere more important to be, then stay at home. Go to your appointment. But, you know, baseball's never been about time, and it's not supposed to be. That's why it's called the pastime. You sit there, you sit in the stands, and you eat hot dogs and peanuts and drink a bunch of beer, and you're talking
yeah.
with your friends, and you're enjoying the game for 4 hours. It's what you're supposed to do. So, but... me and Seth are total purists. I don't like interleague play. I don't like the designated hitter.
Okay.
You know. Well, look, if
old
pitchers
school.
Had to
yep.
hit, they wouldn't be throwing at batters. They know because they got to, you know, they got to pitch. You know, they got to hit too. And it is old
yeah.
school. And you know, when we were kids, the best hitters were always the best pitchers. So,
mm-hmm. yep.
But now, I mean, you got 50 pitches, and oh my God, they put your arm in traction. Quick, gotta get him into the tub, get some Epsom salts on him, and rub him down.
Yeah.
Four hits, 50 pitches. Oh my Lord. Meanwhile, Nolan Ryan's going, I just warmed up. What are you talking about? So.
Yeah, it has to do with salary, so these guys start making money and then they don't want to play.
Well, that's why
you know,
it's going to happen in Seattle. He got $50 million for being a backup his whole career, and now he's got paid, and, oh, I can't play, coach. Oh, bugs me. That's why it should be merit. You want that $50 million? Earn it. And you get it.
Yeah.
We'd see a lot more play, a lot better play. That's why I like the XFL. I don't know if you guys remember this during the 2020 and that cockamamie scamdemic. Well, the XFL, it was a great league. I mean, they were – these guys, you didn't get paid if you didn't show up. You had to show up and suit up to get paid. And they were out there playing, I mean, hard football. I mean, good tackles, good hits, good play. And then the pandemic hit and – it's over with, but they were talking about using that kind of like a minor league for the NFL because the NFL, you know, and the NFL should have a minor league kind of a system where some guys, when they get out of college, are not quite ready for the NFL. They just need a year or two and fully grow, and then they can go to the NFL. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, look at Kurt Warner, bagging groceries, and sweeping floors. You know, So, well, anyway, guys, we are, according to my clock, running dangerously close to getting out of here. I want to thank both callers, Lou, and I never got your name there, 4056.
It's Brad. I talked to you earlier on Facebook. Yep.
Oh, you're
friend
Brad.
Of Skip.
Oh,
yep.
Bradley Branham.
Yep, first time I was able to get on the show, so I was excited. I got out of work early, and I'm going to do this show tonight, and that's awesome.
Oh, okay, because see, you used to do it when we were on
YouTube.
Right,
I was able to listen to almost every week. That was a lot of fun. I was able to get out early enough to listen to the show weekly. And then now that I kind of know what you're doing now, I should be able to get it, be on air or listen by, you know, between 6 and 7. So it's a good
show.
Well,
we used to be on air for many years, and then Blog Talk Radio went nuts, and then now we're back. But anyway, we are running dangerously close, so thank you, Brad. Thank you, Lou.
Yeah.
Thank you, Seth, very much. And we will see you every Saturday at 6 p.m. right here. Same back channel.
Awesome.
Also, Lou, you do have your show, so go ahead and real quick give a plug. Oh, he left. Oh, okay. So anyway, we're about gone. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you back here next week, 6 p.m. Saturday night. Goodbye, everybody.